In the wake of the Me Too movement, there's a renewed debate over the way some teaching hospitals treat women's bodies. Women who go under anesthesia at those hospitals may be subject to pelvic exams without even knowing it. In most places, it's legal. Only six states, including Illinois, ban these exams. Medical schools argue it's necessary to teach students. But University of Illinois law professor Robin Fretwell Wilson wants to ensure women are allowed to give explicit consent. Side Effects Public Media's Christine Herman asked Wilson about these exams and how often they happen.
Well, we actually don't have terrific data. What we have are accounts from medical students who say, I'm disturbed. Why aren't we having a conversation about this as in terms of medical ethics? We have residents saying that it was a normal teaching practice. And so we know the practice happens as a teaching matter. We know that often it's not consented to.
Does this happen only during something like a gynecological surgery or other surgeries as well?
Other surgeries as well. In fact, what sparked the opinion editorial and the call for maybe a sustained change was basically a woman reaching out to me from Arizona who went to the hospital for stomach surgery and then is told by a resident after the fact that medical students had done a gynecological exam. Well, there's some distance between your vagina and your stomach that's not necessary to the care that she received. It was done without her consent. And we hear those stories again and again from usually medical students saying they think that's what happened. Patients often don't know.
So related to that, I mean, Illinois is actually one of six states that bans non-consensual pelvic exams. I understand this was a result of public outcry over the issue that goes back to like the 1990s. And then what happened? Did the momentum just kind of fizzle out?
Well, so it seems like it goes in these spurts. There'll be a study or an ethics examination that says we're doing this, and then people go, you've got to be kidding me, right? We've had biomedical ethics for 30, 40 years. Certainly we don't do this. And then the answer back will be usually from students, well, I've been asked to do this, and I didn't feel right about it at the time. And then that will just sort of die out. And maybe laws were sort of passed in the interim. That happened after the Federal Trade Commission had hearings, and there were a set of laws that were passed. But if there isn't oversight by an accrediting body, if there's nobody like looking over the shoulder of attending physicians doing this work with medical students, then I think sometimes the easiest impulse is to say, yeah, what? Nobody will care. We should just get on with it.
And so are you hoping that this issue will get revived, I guess, perhaps now in the wake of the Me Too movement?
I think so. I think sometimes we can make legal changes that are sophisticated, but without that oversight piece, tying it to accreditation, it's hard to operationalize. I think a lot of folks would be deeply, deeply disturbed by knowing that this might have happened to them or could possibly happen to them. So my hope is that we are thinking a lot harder about women's dignity in all kinds of ways, women's capacity and their autonomy. And this should be part of that broader discussion. And like the Me Too movement, I think just, you know, people saying, look, you need to ask, just ask, can be a way that we can get cultural change even when we don't have legal change. We've had this promise of informed consent and promise of autonomy about our bodies for 100 years. We need to make good on it, and we need to make good on it for people who usually are not, you know, in a terribly good position to do that for themselves.